What is up and welcome back to Zen Business, the show that studies health and mindfulness habits that ultra high performers use to reach the top of their industry and their craft. I'm your host, Jonathan Maxim, managing director at K&J Growth Hackers and founder of 5 digital companies. We've grown these companies to great levels and created an exciting and fulfilling life for our team members, but the truth is, it was much more challenging than we ever could have imagined. All right, now let's jump in. Here are 5 books that changed my life that I recommend you read in 2023. Number 1, The Almanac of Naval Ravikant. And this is about how to get rich without getting lucky, but more importantly, learning the skill of happiness. 2, The Vortex by Esther and Jerry Hicks. This is a book that teaches you the fundamentals of how to relate relationships in a whole new light in a very spiritual context. Number 3, Breathe by James Nestor. This book is what improved my sleeping cycles, my sleep length, my everyday energy, and my health overall, all through breathing. Number 4, The Wim Hof Method. This book, everyone probably knows about it, but it's completely different when you read it. And now I take a cold shower or a cold bath every single day because of this book. And I feel amazing. And last but not least, and most unexpected, Hurricanes by Rick Ross. Now, you might think this is a funny choice, but this book is actually extremely inspirational because it talks about a guy who comes from the hood. The first scene is a crime scene in the book, and it leads through his whole story and really, really inspired me to hustle and crush it in everyday life. And so those are my 5 books for 2023. Now let's dive a little bit deeper. So the first book, The Almanac of Naval Ravikant. If you don't know who Naval Ravikant is, he is the founder of AngelList.co. If you're not in tech, you probably don't know who that is and probably seems insignificant to you. But he's actually one of the luminaries of my generation, or maybe a generation above me, who I think represents the best in our society today. This book is an interpretation of a lot of age-old principles. I'm talking about first principles, philosophies from, you know, people like Marcus Aurelius and Seneca and Plato and, you know, the great thinkers like that. Now, the reason that it's interesting to me, one, of course, because it's written in a very readable format. It's very interesting and fun to read, and I'm about to reread it. I read this book in 4 days on vacation, so this is the first book I finished this year, and I'm about to reread it. That's how impactful it was. This book also had me reading an hour a day now. I, without hesitation, read for over an hour a day, and I really love it. And it really boils down all of the learning that we can comprehend. All of the best gems are really in books because this is the most overlooked source of knowledge, and it's the most longstanding, right? So when we're talking about the principles coming from philosophers and from the great thinkers of our age and past ages, the longer that knowledge has been relevant, the older the book is. If it is still relevant today, that means the knowledge is more powerful, because something that doesn't have any staying power might be expired in a few years or, you know, a decade. Whereas books by like Plato and, you know, these philosophers, they last thousands and thousands of years. So if those principles have been true for over 1,000 years, how impactful are they? And this is your huge advantage in life. If you can learn these principles that 99% of people overlook, learn the principles that guide the minds of people like Tim Ferriss, Naval Ravikant, and all of these luminaries of our generation, but also past generations, you have a huge advantage in day-to-day life. When you learn the fundamentals of how to learn, learning the skill of happiness, how to create leverage in your life, how to create wealth, all of these core principles started way back hundreds and thousands of years ago and are still relevant today, used by the most successful people out there, but ignored by 99%, right? There's a 1% who reads these kind of books, and there's a 99% who doesn't. And there's also a wealth gap between, you know, the 1% and everybody else, essentially. So this book comes as number 1 on my list, and it's very easy to read. You can see that it's quite short. It's maybe like 150, 200 pages. Yeah, it's 200 pages. And it was very easy to read, very conversational. It's mostly taken from Naval's tweets and things like that. But I'd like to read you a few snippets from it. Well, really just the foreword from Tim Ferriss. Throughout his career, Naval has generously shared his wisdom with millions of people around the world who follow his advice on building wealth and living happily. Naval is an icon in Silicon Valley and startup culture around the world. He founded multiple successful companies, ePinions in the 2000s, AngelList in 2010. He's also an angel investor, betting on early companies like Uber, Twitter, Postmates, and hundreds more. More than a financial success, Naval has been sharing his own philosophy of life and happiness, attracting readers and listeners throughout the world. Naval is broadly followed because he is a rare combination of successful and happy. After a lifetime of study and application of philosophy, economics, and wealth creation, he has proven the impact of his principles. Today, Naval continues to build and invest in companies almost casually in his own artistic way while maintaining a healthy, peaceful, and balanced life. So what really struck me most about this book is how the everyday person might call Naval lazy. He works on his own time. He has a lot of creative space. He works when he wants to. He only works on things that he's interested and passionate about. And he's ultra wealthy, right? So how does that math add up? How can somebody who's essentially lazy in the eyes of most be more successful than 99% of people out there? Well, the truth is he's working on the right things, right? He's thinking through what he wants to build, and then he's picking stuff that he is genuinely passionate about that will keep him interested for a long period of time. Now, an example of this might be you want to start a marketing agency, and there's the dentistry niche and, you know, let's just say the restaurant niche. Choosing which of those two determines the whole direction of your life. Or a third option might be starting a software company. But all of those different options, that core question of what do I want to work on? What kind of business do I want to build will determine your life for the next 10 years. So a lot of people hurry into starting a business or taking a job or a career, and they stick on that track for 10 years, never having thought about, was this the thing that I actually wanted to do? And so Naval captures that really eloquently by saying, just stop working on stuff that doesn't align with your higher principles, right? And like Steve Jobs said, if you chase money, you'll become a millionaire. If you chase passion, if you chase stuff that you're interested in, you become a billionaire. Something along those lines. It's not his exact quote, so don't troll me in the tweets, although you may anyway. So really highly recommend the Naval Ravikant Almanac, and it will just teach you the fundamentals of how to think about getting leverage, how to create software, how to put other things to work for you so that you can work less and put more focus on happiness. And I think he does a really good job in the happiness department as well. Next is The Vortex. So Esther and Jerry Hicks, they are a couple who essentially had a spiritual experience and met a spirit guide, an angel, whatever you want to call it. And that spirit's name was Abraham Hicks. So Abraham has narrated several books. The first one was Asking It Is Given. It's a book about manifestation. And, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a little while, you probably know a bit about it. I've talked about it. I did a whole book study, 3 episodes on it. And The Vortex is all about how we relate to things. Now, the teachings of Abraham are very profound and they're very coherent. So, you know, say what you will. If it sounds foo-foo to you, I understand that. But either way, the insight and the knowledge in the book are really powerful. The wisdom is very relevant time-wise. These books, I think they were drafted in like the 90s or the 80s. They're not even new. But again, that goes to validate the power of the wisdom within. And so the subtitle of the book is Where the Law of Attraction Assembles All Cooperative Relationships. So the whole book is about finding relationships that are harmonic and peaceful. And of course, shedding the ones that are not. Getting yourself out of relationships or dynamics that are draining your energy and finding ones that produce energy for you, ones that make you feel good. And, you know, when you think about the concept of the term relationship, right? So relationship indicates that there is a relation between two items, right? Relationship, right? So what does the energy exchange look like between these two entities? It could be two humans. It could be me and my car. It could be me and my iPhone. So think about me and my iPhone for a second. How I relate to my iPhone. How much time do I spend on it every day? How much emotional energy does it get of mine? How much focus does it get of mine? What does it give me back? Does it give me endorphins? Does it give me energy? Does it give me excitement? In my case, the phone acts as a mechanism for getting business done. So that's my main focus for it. That's why I use it a lot, right? Because the more I use it, the more I can communicate with my team and make things happen, et cetera. But how I relate to that you know, I could be giving it 20% of my energy, and I might come to the awareness that, hey, maybe I don't want to dedicate 20% of my energy to this. Maybe I want to dedicate 10% of my energy to this. Same thing goes in a personal relationship. If there's somebody that's draining you or depressing you or, you know, causing you frustration and stress in your life, how much energy are you giving them and how much are they giving you back? Where do they fall on this relationship spectrum? How are you relating to them? What does that dynamic look like? And can it be more harmonic? So as you go into 2023, thinking about who you spend your time with, right? Like they say, if you hang out with five monkeys, you'll become the sixth. If you hang out with five millionaires, you know, you'll become the sixth, something along those lines. So who do you want to be in relationship in 2023 with yourself, with the things in your life, with the people in your life? This book will help you take a look at that and find harmonic relationships and shed the ones that are draining your energy. Next up, Breath by James Nestor. This book is a bit more scientific and technical. It was given to me by a friend in Venice Beach, and his name is Salim. I will tag him in the comments here because he's had a huge impact on my life because of this one book. But this book studies the science and the psychology of breath. Now, I didn't know this before, but you're not supposed to breathe through your mouth at all. And when you do, us, you know, as humans and as a culture have learned to breathe through the mouth. What ends up happening is there's no filtering mechanism in the mouth. In the nose, there are these basically like radiator type of vents with filters in them. It's this whole network of tubes in your face that filter the air. It filters dust out, cools up and evens the temperature of the air, and also apportions it. It distributes it in a steady way instead of like a big clump, right? Instead of like a big chunk of breath, it distributes oxygen evenly to you. So what happens when people breathe through their mouth, and a lot of people don't realize that they're mouth breathers, and I know there's a lot of taboo around this, but most people are mouth breathers. What happens is the soft tissue in the throat and in the gums condenses when it dries out, because remember, there's no filtering mechanism from your mouth, and so your mouth gets dry, the tissue condenses, and then of course you rehydrate so it expands again, but then its shape isn't the same. Think of like microwaving something over and over and over, microwaving and freezing. That's kind of the effect that happens to the back of the throat and, you know, all the soft tissue in the palate and in the nostrils, etc. So what ends up happening is then people's mouth and all the soft tissue in their face begins to restructure in an unhealthy way. This is what leads to crooked teeth. Because think about it, if your gums are condensing and your gums are becoming smaller, it's gonna pull your teeth together. And then when they expand again, when the temperature changes and when, you know, you get moisture again, then they expand, and then now you got gaps in your teeth. So this is how a lot of, you know, prehistoric ages, this stuff happened over years and years through evolution, but certain societies, like cultures, like have more crooked teeth because back in the day they were doing more mouth breathing because of, you know, their hunting habits and things like that. Anyway, all to say, when you start breathing through your nose, your life gets a lot better. What happened for me was I actually got a septoplasty. I got my right nostril opened back up because it had a deviated septum and I couldn't breathe through my nose. I only had one nostril essentially. So when I opened it up, it felt like a jetpack of oxygen for me through my nose. And so then I started closing my mouth when I slept. There's even people who use mouth tape to close their mouth and make sure that it stays shut while they're asleep. And so then you're forced to breathe through your nostrils. And when you breathe through your nostrils, then the air gets filtered. It gets cooled off to this temperature of your body, and it gets apportioned in a healthy way so that oxygen gets fed into your organs in a smooth fashion, right? It's not just chunks of it, right? Because your body, within the body, there's oxygen and carbon dioxide, and they have to live in balance, just like insulin and sugar have to live in balance. So you don't want a ton of oxygen all at once. It has to be in balance with the carbon dioxide. In fact, more people suffer from an imbalance of carbon dioxide than from lack of oxygen. So a lot of breathwork techniques actually are counterproductive, where they're trying to get more and more oxygen in because it's setting off the balance of carbon dioxide. So the actual exhale is more important than the inhale. And everyone seems to focus on the inhale when they talk about breathing. So those are some of the things that you'll learn in this book. But the end outcome is that I started getting really good sleep scores on my Oura Ring, which tracks my REM sleep, my deep sleep, my light sleep. It tracks heart rate variability, respiration rate, all that kind of stuff. And so I started getting better sleep scores and better readiness scores after reading this book, which I thought was a really interesting output because I could measure it. That's one of those things that would be hard to measure normally. But for me, it improved my energy during the day. It improved my sleep. And overall, it just made me a happier person because I wasn't grumpy and tired, which I think we could all use a little bit of. So Breath by James Nestor, highly recommend it. And now Wim Hof's The Wim Hof Method. So a lot of people know Wim Hof as the Iceman. He's the guy who can sit in basically an ice bucket of water and regulate his own body temperature through his breathing. Now this one obviously plays nicely with the book Breath, and they actually quote each other in both books, so they must be friends. But what I learned from the Wim Hof Method was that your breathing regulates the temperature of your body, right? So when I'm doing a cold plunge, I did one on Sunday, I stayed in the ice bath for like 15 minutes while I was reading a book. I was reading One Too Many by James Valadian. Anyway, spent 15 minutes in the cold bath. How did I do that? Well, I applied the breathing techniques from the Wim Hof Method. And the long and short of it is, when you learn how to control your breathing in a way that regulates your body temperature and keeps you calm, you don't shiver, you don't think too much about the cold. Honestly, you don't even feel cold after a little bit. Otherwise, obviously, I wouldn't be able to stay in there for so long if I was freezing. Now, his story is pretty interesting. He grew up in the Netherlands, and he was squatting for 2 years, I think it was, in his like college age days. And he used to swim in the lake beneath the frozen ice. And so he would go in like pure cold, you know, ice temperature water. And he found it fun, and he eventually became the Iceman. And as the story goes, he's, you know, somebody who's really an advocate for cold therapy and for exposure to cold and so on. Now, he has done things like climb mountains in shorts in the snow and bare feet. So it really is obviously an inspiring story in itself. But for you, what you can apply from it is the methodology for how to take cold showers, how to do cold plunges, because those benefits are basically it opens up, it brings blood to the surface of your skin. And then as the vascularity opens, it lets more oxygen in. And that oxygen obviously has a lot of benefits, but one of them is burning fat. Two of them is giving you more energy, increasing the metabolism and things like that. So that book was really impactful. And now every day I do a cold shower or an ice bath. So I highly recommend that one. And last but not least, Rick Ross's Hurricanes. So the beginning of this book starts out with him, I don't know how else to describe it, pistol whipping somebody and beating up a group of people. Now, it's a pretty crazy ass story, I'll be honest. But it's one, super entertaining, and two, it's inspirational in the sense that you can become anything that you want, right? This guy was just a hood rat from the South, essentially, who was getting into trouble, dealing drugs. He was addicted to drugs and alcohol, and he turned his life around and became a mega superstar, obviously, with his music career. But I think reading biographies is one of my favorite meditations, because what better way to learn from somebody who is, you know, achieved some degree of success or done something that you want to do other than reading their story, right? Just see what they did. What decisions did they make along the way? How did they have their breakout moment? What was that one thing that took them to superstardom? And this book, the Rick Ross one, I mean, obviously I like his music. I like rap. It's inspirational to me. It kind of gets me pumped up to hustle and crush it more. But there's a whole side to this that I think a lot of people can empathize with, in the sense that if Rick Ross, you know, poor guy from the hood, can pull it off, so can you, right? And so after reading that book, I was just really inspired to go crush it and to go win big and to put my best foot forward and to live the most I possibly could out of this life. So highly recommend this. After I read the Hurricanes book, I also read 50 Cent's biography, and then I also read Gucci Mane's biography. So that became a fun little study in itself. All right, so those are the five books I recommend for 2023. The Almanac of Naval Ravikant, The Vortex by Abraham Hicks, Breathe by James Nestor, The Wim Hof Method, and Rick Ross's Hurricanes. All right, I hope you enjoyed it. If you liked it, if you think people could use these books for 2023, make sure to share with somebody, maybe over iMessage, who you're friends with, or, you know, may just find it useful or fun. And I'll see you in the next episode. Cheers.